action and be the 12th. And so this is just a communication tool to do that. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear back what you feel like God's saying to you, how God is calling you to respond so that we can support you in the journey. So hopefully you can engage with me in that. And now I'd like to invite you to engage with me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves here the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, lately, my family has been having some fun with riddles. So I thought I'd share the fun with you and start the message today with a riddle. This is a what am I riddle. And here's how it goes. I am pronounced as one letter, but written with three. Two letters are there and two only of me. I'm double, I'm single, I'm brown, blue, and gray. Red from both ends, I'm the same either way. What am I? Anybody able to figure it out? What, you have a guess? A what? An eye, yes. Like the eye you have on your face. Do you get it now? Now, I can't believe it. There's somebody got it at every single service today. I could not get it for the life of me. I had to look for the answer. It was hard. But I wanted to start with a riddle because the subject of today's message, in many ways, feels kind of like a really hard riddle. Today, in the traditional church calendar, it's Holy Trinity Sunday. It's a day where we talk about how our God is one God and three persons. What? I mean, how can that be? How can you have three as one and one as three? I'm sorry, I'm still rhyming. But in all seriousness, and this can be really hard to understand. Yet if we're willing to wrestle with this difficult truth, it can actually make our own lives easier to understand. Because it's through the doctrine of the Trinity that we uncover some really significant life questions. Like, why are we here? How are we designed to live? What are we supposed to do? Thankfully, we have help through the Holy Scriptures to unlock this divine riddle. And with the help of God's Word today, I want to explore the Holy Trinity with you, hopefully uncovering along the way some life-giving, life-saving, life-changing answers. The word Trinity is not found anywhere in the Bible. It was first used by an early church leader by the name of Tertullian to assert that God is both one and three. There was no language for that. And so he created his own word. He combined the prefix tri, which means three, and the word unity, which signifies oneness, and resulted with the word triunity or Trinity. Even though the word Trinity isn't found in the Bible, evidence of the Trinity is found all throughout the Bible. We encounter a God who is both three and one. There are three distinct persons in the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet these three distinct persons are all united together as one God. One of the best analogies that I've heard for the Trinity uses the illustration of a musical chord. Now, I love music. I studied music in college, but I don't think you have to know too much about music in order to understand this analogy. So we all hear chords all the time. Oops, sorry. We hear chords all the time when we listen to music. So those are chords. Now, a chord in its basic form is made up of three notes. So for example, the chord C is made up of the three notes C, E, and G. They're three different, distinct notes. And yet they exist in such perfect harmony that they form one chord. Now, each of the notes has a unique role to play. You have 1, 3, 5, and yet they work together perfectly for a common purpose. 1 is 3, the 3 are 1. Now, no analogy is perfect, and any analogy about God is going to break down at some point. But I think this is an incredible analogy to give us a picture of what God is like. The three members of the Trinity, like the three notes in a chord, exist together in such perfect harmony that they form one God. In our gospel reading, Jesus explained that the members of the Trinity are united together in perfect love. They are so close, it's like one is living in the other and the other is living in them. That's how closely united they are in love. And in our readings, we find that even though the members of the Trinity each have a unique role to play, they work perfectly together to accomplish a common purpose. 1 is 3. 3 are 1. Now, unlike the chord that I just played, which started and ended, the Bible tells us that the three members of the Trinity have existed for eternity in this close, united, loving relationship. C.S. Lewis makes an interesting point about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He writes, "All sorts of people are fond of repeating the Christian statement that God is love, but they seem not to notice that the words God is love have no real meaning unless God contains at least two persons. Love is something that one person has for another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, He was not love." Does that make sense? That in order for God to be perfect love, God needs to be relational. The opposite is true. In order for God to be relational for all eternity, God has to be perfect love. I mean, just imagine if you had to spend all eternity with your parent or your child or even one of your friends, eventually there'd be some fighting and bickering and conflict. Agreed? Yeah. But the Trinity doesn't fight. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they exist together in perfect harmony for all eternity because they are perfectly loving. And so we know that God is love because God is Trinity. And we know that God is Trinity because God is love. What this means is that the basic core of all reality, we find loving relationships. And here's how this connects with our lives and starts answering some really significant questions. We learn from the Bible that we're created in whose image? Always a safe answer in church, yeah. Created in God's image. In Genesis 1:26, God's speaking about creating human beings. And God says this, "Let us," notice the plural form, "let us," notice the relational dynamic, "let us make people in our image to be like ourselves." This explains why all of us, deep down, have a longing for love. Why all of us desire to be in harmonious relationships with other people. Why all of us yearn to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We are created in the image of God. God didn't create people because God needed someone to love. God already had loving relationships. God created people so that you and I could be part of God's divine community of love. A relationship where we might be different, but we're united together as one. A relationship where we can still have unique roles, but we all work together for a common purpose. See, that's the beautiful vision that God had of loving relationships when God created people. But tragically, as we've seen through our journey in the Bible, over and over, people have chosen to reject God's beautiful vision and to act in ways that fracture our relationships with God, with others, and even with ourselves. This past week, I was reading an article in the news entitled, "London Bridge is Falling Down." Do you see that one? I was just devastated to hear that there was yet another terrorist attack, this time targeting the London Bridge. Unfortunately, it's like we hear about these attacks more and more. And yet, we don't really have to look to the news to find examples of hurtful actions and broken relationships, do we? I mean, we can look right in our own lives and in our own families. I bet if we're honest, all of us can think of an example of when somebody acted in a hurtful way towards us, or when we acted in a hurtful way towards somebody else. I'll bet if we're honest, all of us would admit that we have broken relationships in our life, whether that be a broken relationship with God, with another person, or even with ourselves. And when we look out into the world, far too often we see hatred rather than love, discord rather than harmony, conflict rather than cooperation. That's the bad news. But there's good news. The same Holy Trinity who created us for loving relationships is on a mission to save us so that we all can experience God's divine community of love once again. Because God is one, all three members of the Trinity work together. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus says that we're to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The entire Trinity is at work in our salvation. And so we need to name the whole Trinity as we're made members of God's family through the waters of baptism. And each of the members of the Trinity has a unique role to play. We might break it up like this. The Father is the source. The Son is the way. And the Spirit is the power. Think of it like turning on a light. The Father says, "Let there be light." The Son goes and flips the switch. And the Spirit is the electricity that powers the bulb. The Father is the source. The Son is the way. The Spirit is the power. And while they each have a unique role to play, all three members of the Trinity work perfectly together for the common purpose of our salvation. Just break it down. The Father is the source. John 3:16, God loved the world so much that he sent his Son to save us from our sin and bring us back into a right relationship with God. The Son is the way. Jesus provided the way of salvation when he lovingly paid for our wrongs on the cross so that we could be forgiven and to remove anything that could ever separate us from being with God for all eternity. And then the Spirit is the power. Jesus was born through the power of the Spirit. He was baptized in the power of the Spirit. He was led by the power of the Spirit. He rose from the dead through the power of the Spirit. Father is the source. Son is the way. Spirit is the power. And as the story of Acts unfolds, we see the Trinity transforming relationships so that they once again can reflect the image of God. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost. And we read the story of Acts chapter 2. It's the story of what happened when the Spirit came on the early church. Do you remember how their community was described? They were different people from different walks of life, and that they were all united together as one. They worshiped together. They prayed together. They learned together. They praised together. They ate together. Get this, every single day. They were united as one. And while they all had unique roles to play, they worked together for the common purpose of helping those in need and spreading the good news, so that God added to their number every day those who were being saved. That's Trinity living. And even when conflict arose in the early church, which it did, we see again the Trinity working to transform relationships back into the image of God. For example, when the Apostle Paul encountered conflict in the Corinthian church, he used a Trinitarian blessing to refocus that community. 2 Corinthians 13:14, Paul wrote, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." You kind of get how they work together to heal relationships. The Father is the source of love. Jesus is the way of grace and forgiveness. And the Spirit is the power that holds us together in fellowship. Father is the source. The Son is the way. The Spirit is the power. Now, this is all great, but one of the reasons that I believe that the Trinity can transform relationships is because I've seen God do it in my life. Yesterday, we hosted a marriage event, and my wife and I had the privilege of being one of the speakers at the event. And as I stood there looking at my wife speaking with me, I couldn't help but just say, "God, you are so amazing." Because as we shared yesterday, my wife and I have been through some really difficult times in our marriage. Times when we could not have felt farther apart. Times when it seemed like our marriage just was not working. In desperation, we turned to God for help. We looked to the Father to be our source of love. We followed Jesus in his way of grace and forgiveness. And we relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to hold us together when we couldn't hold ourselves together. And what God has done in our marriage is nothing short than a miracle. The fact that now we are united in marriage and working together in ministry makes me just want to praise God for how amazing and wonderful he is. And some of you even got to witness another example of transformation in my life. After my parents went through a divorce, I had a lot of bitterness and anger towards my father. And for many years, we didn't have a close relationship. Interestingly, God used baptism, which we celebrate in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to begin healing our relationship. After my dad heard that we were doing this baptism small group at Good Shepherd, he told me that he'd never been baptized. I didn't know that. And this sparked a faith conversation, which eventually led to my father being baptized as an adult right here in the sanctuary. Some of you saw it. And as I poured water on his head, God began to wash away the anger and the bitterness in my heart. And since then, God has been transforming our relationship so that once again it can reflect the image of God. How about you? Do you have any broken relationships in your life? And maybe it's a relationship with a spouse or with a family member. Maybe it's a relationship with somebody at your school or at your workplace. Maybe it's a relationship with somebody here in this church. The same Trinity that created us for loving relationships can transform our relationships back into the image of God. If you need help or prayer in this area, you're not alone. Just let me know on your response card, and I'd be happy to pray with you and support you on this journey. Along with transforming our relationships, the Trinity engages us in God's mission to bring more and more and more people into the divine community of love. We heard in our reading from Acts that Jesus said, "The Spirit is going to give you power to tell people everywhere about me, to the ends of the earth." That means if there's somebody that you know or I know who doesn't have a relationship with God, the gospel hasn't reached its final destination yet. And God is calling us to be part of his mission, to bring more and more people into the community of faith. Sometimes we get a little weirded out about sharing our faith, but we've got to remember that's not something that we do on our own. Again, Father is the source, the Son is the way, the Spirit is the power. As I read through our prayer and action guide for this week, I saw all kinds of opportunities for us to engage in Trinity living. I'll share three of them with you. So we have opportunities to build closer relationships. Small groups are a great way to do this, and some of our college students are gathering together in a group over the summer so that they can relax and reconnect and deepen their relationship together. There are opportunities to welcome new people into our community of faith. You might have seen on the Prayer and Action Guide, we hired a new director for our student ministries. His name is Ryan Shibley. Ryan and his wife Connie and their kids Robert and Shania, they're going to be joining Good Shepherd. Speaking from experience, it's not easy to bring a family into a big church like this. There's so many people, you don't even know where to begin. And so how about all of us take the first step to reach out to the Shively family, to let them know that we're excited that they're coming, that we're praying for their ministry, that we're here to help in any way that they can. I guarantee you that would mean so much to that family. Another welcoming opportunity is with our new member luncheon. If you've never been a part of that, this is such a neat way to connect with our newest members and to help them feel loved and welcomed into our community of faith. And then finally, there are opportunities for us to work together to help those who are in need and to spread the good news. For example, there's opportunities to serve with Vacation Bible School, with Feed My Starving Children, and with our upcoming Honduras mission team, just to name a few. And these are all opportunities for us to experience the divine community of love and share it. Just one last story. One of our Fusion leaders shared a touching story with me. He works with a student who doesn't speak and kind of just sits back as a silent observer. And he said the other day he was sitting with his student and just singing to the student songs like Jesus Loves Me. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the student turns and just gives him the biggest bear hug. He's a tears streaming down his eyes. He felt so much love in that moment. And I truly believe that the Holy Trinity wants to wrap you in a big God hug and use your arms and your hands and your feet to share that God hug with the world. That's why we were created. It's how we were designed. It's what we were meant to do. And it's this same Holy Trinity that created us for loving relationships that is on a mission to save us so that all people once again can be part of God's divine community of love. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. And I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. What is it that God is saying to you? What struck you throughout the message? What action steps might God be calling you to take so that you can deepen your relationship with God and help spread God's love to other people? I'm going to give you some time to pray and think, and then we're going to have a conversation together and close it in prayer. So take a few moments, spend some time with God, think about what God is saying to you, how God is calling you to respond. We're going to have a conversation together, but want to let you know, sometimes it's not always easy to talk in public, or even if you want to continue the conversation, if you just write your name and your email and hand in your response card, I'd be more than happy to continue the conversation with you, to pray for you. You can use your camera phone to scan the code at the top and do it all from your phone. But before we pray and transition into the table, I wanted to have a conversation with you and just hear what God is speaking to your heart, what action steps you might be feeling, what touched you in the message, what kind of made you think in a new way, challenged you, encouraged you, just open to hearing how God was moving through that message time in your heart.
Mine is with some confusion because you said that the Trinity created us in his image. And we know God is perfect. So why did he create us so defective? Mm-hmm. And then have to send his son so his creation would brutally murder him? Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? So it's kind of like, if we're created in God's image, how is it that the world has gotten broken? Anybody have thoughts before I share? We're kind of in a dialogue together. Anybody found a way to understand that, or that was helpful? Yeah.
Created in the image is not exact. It is an image. It is a variation of God. So while it's in his image, it's not the perfect creation of God. So that allows for a certain amount of imperfections. If we paint something, it's very good. If we sculpt something from a model, it's not perfect. So there are imperfections, and those imperfections are what causes difficulties and separation between us and God, therefore sin, if you will.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, we have a thought back there.
Part of being in a relationship is having the ability to choose to be in that relationship. And, you know, you talked about that with your wife. Part of God creating us in his image is that ability to have relationships and to show love. But in order to show love, you have to be able to reject. There has to be the option to choose not to. And so I think theologically, that's what God created us with, that free will, that ability. We chose to reject him. That's why things have gone wrong. It's not like he made us broken. He just made us with the same capability of free will. And we've used it for all these other things to reject him. And so it's not that he created us imperfect. It's that he had to create us with that ability. Otherwise, we would just be slaves. We wouldn't really be a love relationship.
Yeah, so. That's good. Okay. Anyone else want to jump in? Put the thing away. Yeah, Yuchen, go ahead.
Everything is a process. In order to get start, to begin something's always easy, but to get moved to next step is very difficult. To understand the Trinity, how to understand the source, the way, the power is a process. So that's life. In the end, how to work each steps through the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Keith, go for it.
And I think that's what we always try to do is we want perfection 100% of the time, and humanity, you know, we want everybody to be saved, and that's not, God has his word and he knows who will make that choice. And it isn't everyone, and it's up to him, and it's up to the relationships, and we want everyone, and that's maybe not God's way to have everyone saved. Now, we're not smart enough to know who is and isn't. Not making that choice, and I'm not judging, but we want this inclusion of everyone, and we want to offer it to everyone, but maybe that's not God's way. I don't know.
Yeah, thank you all for being brave. I mean, it takes a lot to share on a difficult topic like this, so I appreciate the different insights. So the way that I I understand it is God did not make us imperfect. God made us perfectly in his image, designed to love. But as you said, in order for there to be real love, there has to be a choice. If I had a robot that I forced to love me, that's not a real relationship. You need to have somebody who actually has the freedom to choose. And what I think happened is we used our freedom poorly. And we chose to reject God's vision. We chose to try to do things on our own and ended up acting in ways that destroyed the perfect relationships that God had created us for. And I actually do, I do believe that God desires for everyone to be saved. There's a verse, 2 Peter 3:9, it says, he's not being slow, he's being patient so that everybody can be saved. I think that's God's heart, that God wants everybody, and God's on mission, Father, Son, Spirit, to bring that through the church to all people. But we still, in the end, we got a choice, and sometimes we choose to reject. And so that's the tragedy and the beauty, because God never gives up and God keeps trying to pursue us and bring us back. Thank you. Any other insights, things that God's stirring, maybe action steps that you're like, wow, in light of the Trinity and what God is up to, I think God's calling me to XYZ. Other thoughts, things percolating?
We just spent 3 days, 3 nights sitting hospice with my dad. He was very broken at the end. But it was through that imperfection that we were able to experience some of the greatest love. That's all I wanted to say.
That's beautiful, and thanks for sharing. We have time for maybe one more thought, idea. Yeah.
12 years after divorce. Raising two kids, getting them through school over lots of bumps and bruises, and sort of waiting for love and not doing anything about it. And I'm taking a couple of very big steps right now to get my life back. And it's terrifying, and it's exciting, and I have a lot of people around me who love me who are helping me with that. It's time. And I keep hearing God say, Debbie, just grow.
Wow, thanks for sharing that. Thank you for everyone who shared. It does take a lot of courage to speak, especially on such a difficult topic. So appreciate your openness. And like I said, I'd love to continue the conversation with you. Just fill out a response card and we can communicate afterwards. But we're gonna transition now into the table. And we're gonna do it in a unique way. First, we're gonna set it up by music and by liturgy, and then to represent how God is uniting us all together as one.